Halashing for halas? Want to bribe or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Adrian Bugatti, your host. Nothing brings you back down to earth after the holidays, quite like a wallet full of receipts and slips where all the cash used to be. Well, OUTsurance has an offer that will turn your post-holiday blues around. They could save you money on your car insurance every month. And if they can't, you can ask them for 500 Rand cash. Claim free and with the same insurer for 3 years, ask for 1,500 Rand cash. You could save or get cash in your wallet. SMS OUT to 40251. OUTsurance is a licensed insurer and FSP. T's and C's apply. Free SMS. Right. If you've got any suggestions, tips or information on food or cooking that you would like to share with us, please message us on or SMS us on 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50. You can send us a Telegram message on 061-895-1019 or email us on air at highfm.com. Our Twitter handle is at highfm and our Facebook page 101.9 highfm. So coming up in today's show, we will be looking at four cooking terms and learn what they mean. The cooking terms are cartouche, clarify, coddle, and consomme. Then I've chosen four spices today, and they are cayenne pepper, celery, chervil, and chicory. I'm also going to share a recipe that uses one of those spices to make a delicious, warm, filling, and cheap meal. You will find the recipe on High FM website right after the show. Today I have an interview with budding chef and sometimes my help in the kitchen, Daniel Kastner, and I am talking a little bit about a grocery challenge that I issued here on the show and on Facebook. I've also got kashrut updates from around the world, and then I will share the wonderful recipe that I've chosen for today. It's easy and it'll save you money. So recipes can sometimes be a minefield of terms, jargon, foreign words that lead even the most accomplished chef to question everything they know. And as I've begun to do in the past, I'm going to try and explain some of these terms to you and how they apply to recipes. So the first term is cartouche. Now a cartouche refers to a piece of paper, either a greaseproof paper or baking paper, that is used to create a lid over a pot or pan that is filled with some liquid. Usually it's cut out in a circle. The piece of paper is cut out in a circle, placed over the dish. If you are poaching, say, fish or something, then it's used to stop the steam from escaping. But it can also be used to prevent skin from developing when you are making a sauce or a soup. So what you can do is the baking paper or the greaseproof paper, you put it over when you've got soup that's going to be giving off a lot of fat. So if you've used pieces of chicken with their skin on, you'll often get the fat floating to the surface. Just put the piece of cartouche over it. And when you're ready, you can very carefully take that out and the fat or the oil will cling to that, reducing the amount of fat in your soup. The next term I'm looking at is clarify. Clarify usually refers to butter, and this is where the butter, the milk solids and the water are separated from the butter fat. You do this by very gently melting the butter and allowing the two to separate. And then you skim off the butter fat solids, and you've got your butter fat on one side and the rest is on the other for you to make something else with. The third term is called coddle. Now to coddle something is to cook it in water just below boiling point. More recently, the term has come to specifically apply to eggs using a device called a coddler. Now, there are two types of coddlers. One is sort of almost like a closed egg cup where you put boiling water in the bottom, you put the insert in, you pour your egg in and you close the lid and you leave it. But the other one, and the one that I've got at home, is actually a pan that you fill with water, and on the top it's got a cutout that fits in, and each of those cutouts have a little egg cup. what you do is you grease that little egg cup, you break your egg into that over the steaming water. You can then put herbs or whatever you'd like with your egg. You put the lid on and you allow it to cook for a few minutes. It does give a softer egg than doing a poach, where the poaching is you take your egg and you drop it into the hot water directly. So that is the difference of coddling and poaching. And also the nice thing with coddling eggs is because it's in a shape in an egg cup itself, when you take it out, it gives a nice shape. And if you're somebody who likes to do food pictures and things, it just looks good on a plate. Consommé. Now, consommé is a term most of us equate with a clear chicken soup. But it's actually any liquid that has been clarified using egg whites and some flavored stock. And that's to remove the fat. So what you would do with a clear soup is you would obviously strain off your soup. If you wanted a chicken soup, you would strain it off. But you'll often find there's still impurities left in the soup and you want to get rid of that. So you beat up 2 egg whites and you pour them over the top of the liquid that you're cooking, and you allow it to cook a little bit. You just leave it for about 5 minutes. And slowly you're able to lift it off, and you will find that all the impurities have been absorbed by that egg white. Now, you can use that egg white. You don't have to throw it away, depending on the impurities you were trying to get rid of. If you're doing a gravy, then probably the egg wouldn't taste so nice. But it might be something that you could put into the dog's bowl if you're not going to eat it yourself. Or if you've done it with some soup, you could always use it on a sandwich or make it into an egg white omelette if you were using it just to clear the soup and not get rid of the impurities that can't be eaten. Next up, we're going to talk about my 4 spices that I have chosen to cover for today. The spices are cayenne pepper, celery, chervil, and chicory. Now, something that I didn't know about celery or chervil is that they're not only spices. They can actually also be used as a vegetable. So celery, obviously, we all know as a vegetable, but chervil, I never knew it as a vegetable. I knew it as a spice, and celery I knew as a vegetable. And obviously, although I haven't seen it for a long time, you used to be able to get celery salt. So if anybody knows where to get that, I would love to hear from you. I would love to know where to get that from. Once again, so you're listening to Adrian Bugatti. This is the Essen Fressen Show on Chai FM 101.9. I'm your host as always. And if you have any suggestions, questions, tips or information on cooking and food that you would like to share with us, please send us a message. You can SMS us on 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50 rand. You can send us a Telegram message on 061-895-1119. You can email us on air at highfm.com. Reach out on Twitter. The handle is at highfm, or on Facebook, 101.9 highfm. So once again, we're talking spices coming up after the break, and then we will continue.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008. Whether you are halashing for halas or wanting to bry or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bugatti. It's all about the food.
Good morning, everybody. You're still listening to the Chai FM Essen Fressen Show on Chai FM 101.9. I'm your host, Adrian Bugatti. If you've got any information, suggestions, questions, or tips on cooking and food that you would like to share, please send us a message. You can SMS us on 34519. SMS is charged at 1.50 rand. Send us a Telegram message on 061-895-1019. Or email us on air at highfm.com. And today my guest is budding chef Daniel Kastner. So Daniel is practically my right hand man in my kitchen and does quite a lot of the cooking at home for his mom and for me. So Daniel, welcome to Chai FM, to the cooking show.
Hello, Adrian. Thank you for having me.
Okay, great. So the good news is you start culinary school soon. So that's the 15th.
Yes.
I'm sure you're excited and looking forward to it. And you're busy with your portfolio that you've got to have for them and everything. And I know you get to experiment in my kitchen quite a lot.
Thank you. Yes, I do.
It's good for me. I love it. Because as much as I love cooking, even I like a break. So my first question is, when did you start cooking? Like, how old were you?
I can't remember an exact age, but honestly, my very first memory of cooking has to be at Sydenham Nursery School. must have been in play school or wherever. On Friday morning, they would come in with a big bowl of dough and everyone got to make a little challah. One tiny little, you know, and then we could pop it with like sprinkles or whatever we wanted. And then we all wrote our names on little cards, put them on the colors and then sent them off for what felt like ages because, you know, the 5-year-old has no sense of time. And at the end of the day, which was probably about, you know, 1 o'clock or something like that, they would come back with the colors that were baked and everyone got their color to take home for Shabbos.
Okay.
That's my earliest memory of any kind of cooking, even though we didn't really cook anything.
It's a start. Okay, so tell me your favorite things to use in the kitchen, whether it's ingredients or the utensils or items. What are your favorite, top favorite things?
So I thought about this, before the show, in fact, my favorite ingredient is, I'm going to say, is eggs. And the reason I say eggs is because I think a lot of people think that eggs are just a breakfast food. Like, oh, okay, we're going to have eggs on toast or scrambled eggs or poached eggs or whatever the case. But eggs are so versatile in so many different ways. Eggs add richness and structure to so many different dishes and so many different things that you eat that you can add them to. I mean, 2 weeks ago, you remember we made that lemon ice cream with egg yolk.
That was amazing.
Yes. So the whole idea is you make a lemon custard or like almost like a lemon curd with the egg yolks and lemon juice. But then we had like 8, cause they'd used, I think 7 or 8 egg yolks. We had 7 egg whites left after that I didn't want to waste. We turned that into meringue.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've got so many recipes, with using egg whites as a leavening agent instead of baking powder. I've got recipes where we use the egg yolks to add richness to a dish. Cottage pie, such a simple dish that my grandmother actually used to make a hell of a lot for us growing up. When I make it, I like to crack in 1 or 2 eggs into the potato mixture, and that helps the mixture sort of be more fluffy, more rich from that egg, and then it also helps it brown.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So our next cottage pie, I've got 2 egg yolks sitting in the fridge. Guess what you're making?
There we go.
So that's your favorite, like, ingredient. What kind of food do you love cooking the most? I mean, I know you said the eggs, you like using eggs a lot, but what kind of food do you like using, like making?
My favorite type of cuisine, I think, has to be Italian. I love pizza and pasta so much. That is my, like, ultimate. I'm sitting here with a copy of Jamie's Italy in front of me that I'm about halfway through, only owning it for 2 days, mind you. And, yeah. I absolutely love making pizza. That is it's like a passion almost. Cause there's just so many different ways you can take a pizza. There's so many different avenues you can go with just the dough even. Different dough recipes. I like messing with different hydrations in the dough, different salt content, things like that. Fermentation in the dough. It pizza unto itself is a world. In fact, I learned a few months back that there's an organization in Naples in Italy that they officially register restaurants They're the official Neapolitan pizza, like, association.
Yes.
And if you don't make it in their, in their exact specifications and their exact guidelines, it's not pizza in their eyes.
So I actually saw that on, there's some Netflix show about saving restaurants that are about to lose their licenses or something. And that came up. I think it was in that show. It was one of the cooking shows. You know, the cooking shows. There's so many that I watch. And it was one of the things was they were getting it registered with the Pizza Association in Italy because that's what they were doing. It was quite amazing to see that there's this thing, this pizza thing. Okay. Now, you're starting culinary school in a week's time, 2 weeks' time. What kind of things, okay, I know that it's besides cooking, you're going to learn how to open a restaurant, how to manage your restaurant and things. But what kind of things are you looking forward to the most about learning in culinary school? Because, I mean, you can cook. It's not like you don't know how to cook. What are you hoping to learn more?
Good question. I think I'm looking forward to the food science kind of aspect. I do enjoy that. Why do certain foods do certain things when we do things to the food? Okay, that's a bit of a
understand.
Abstract statement.
Yeah.
But like about the eggs that I spoke about earlier, I follow a chef on YouTube. His name is J. Kenji Lopez Alt. He's actually got a degree from MIT, and I wouldn't know half the things I know about egg if it wasn't from watching his videos. And I'm very interested in learning things like that. Why does, you know, where if you ever marinated some type of meat in lemon juice, the lemon juice, the acidity will actually cook the meat almost.
So that's like the tuna where we, instead of cooking it, you just pour lemon juice over it and it's like a seared tuna without having to do anything to it. Okay. I have a very important question to ask you. Have you told Alan Bender you're becoming a chef yet?
No.
Yes. I want to be there when you tell him. I really, you know, want to see the reaction because for those who don't know, Alan Bender used to host the show. And one of the things he always told the boys was they were not allowed to become chefs. And Daniel is becoming a proper chef, and my son at the moment is working as an unofficial chef or as a chef at a place. And that was one of the things that Alan said they weren't allowed to do. But once he left the country, he lost control. He's not here to intimidate.
No, I don't think he has jurisdiction over us anymore.
he lost it. He was not here to intimidate us all and yell at us. So that's a good thing. So, okay, now your biggest disaster. I mean, you're still young, so there's plenty of time for more. But so far, what is your biggest disaster?
So I can remember lots when I was much younger. I love just doing weird things in the kitchen. I would watch like the Food Network on DSTV and then, go and try whatever I saw Ina Garten or Jamie Oliver cooking on there. And one night my mom, unfortunately, she was dealing with a family crisis. And so, my father's mother, my grandmother, decided she's going to come and her and I are going to cook a recipe from a new cookbook that my mom bought me. I think I was maybe 12 or 13 years old at the time. No, I was about 10. I think it was about 10 at the time. And we decided we're going to make Alfredo, penne Alfredo. Had no idea what a roux was, had no idea what a bechamel was or a mornay. So my grandmother comes over and off we go. We start making the sauce. And all I remember is that it's thick and it's stodgy and it's like Bostik wood glue. It's burning on the bottom of the pan because it was too hot. Cause we had no idea what a roux was. And we, you know, and then the recipe calls for mustard. So there my grandmother and I are, and I don't know if we put in the wrong proportion of mustard or the recipe was just wrong because the cookbook wasn't fantastic, but we put in, I think it was maybe like 4 tablespoons of mustard, And we landed up with what was the most disgusting custard dish I have ever in my life. it just reeks of Dijon mustard, and not in a good way. It was burnt from the roux that we had overcooked. It was thick and gloopy and stuck to the inside of your mouth. It was terrible.
Okay. we've had a few disasters here too over the time. So my question is also, I know you like cooking the Italian because and the pizza and pizza, but what would be your absolute favorite? Like, you know, in our house, everybody's waiting for their beef Wellington. What would be your absolute favorite meal to be served? Not that you made. Yes.
To be served. That's a difficult question to answer because I enjoy eating a lot.
Yes, okay.
As much as I enjoy cooking, I enjoy eating maybe slightly more.
Okay. So in that case, let's ask you something else. Who in the chef world would you most like to apprentice under? Not to meet, to actually cook with.
To actually cook with?
Yes.
That's also a very good question.
it can be more than one.
I've got a lot of different chef role models, let's say, that I look up to, either from books that I've read, videos that I've watched, shows. But to actually cook with, I would probably have to say, I know it's going to sound cliche, but I think I would have to say Gordon Ramsay, for the simple fact that at this current stage of my life, I have no experience working in that high pressure restaurant environment. And I think out of the people in my head at the moment, I would love to get that knowledge from him of how to command a kitchen, how to control a kitchen during a busy service when you're pushing out hundreds of dishes. You know, and everything has to be absolutely perfect down to the last detail.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you one last question before we finish off. We're 2 years down the line. You're finished. You're going to open a restaurant. What kind of restaurant?
So I've already actually thought about this in great detail. I don't have a name picked out yet. I've been thinking about that quite a lot recently. But I would like to one day open a coffee shop. Okay. I know it's not the grandiose culinary experience.
Okay, hold on. Let me interrupt you so that everybody understands. In the morning, Daniel, like his coffee in the morning is an entire ritual, which is why a coffee shop makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know me, coffee is my absolute passion, more than pizza and pasta and Italian food. I love everything that is about coffee. I have an espresso machine at home. I start my mornings with a cappuccino. Some days mm-hmm. I'll drink 4 espressos a day, probably not very healthy, but regardless. And I've had a lot of bad coffee from coffee shops around South Africa. Yeah. And I mean a lot of bad coffee. Yeah. And people seem to get very upset with me when I tell them that their amazing coffee shop serves really rubbish coffee. So I would like to open one day a coffee shop where we are focused on delicious tasting coffee and not serving the kind of slop that certain places that I shall not name on air.
Yes.
So, alongside which I definitely want to have some type of food menu, maybe serving some sort of patisserie, croissants, muffins, things like that.
Okay, and I've come up with your coffee shop name. It's called Coffee Snobs.
I like that.
Okay, so Daniel, thank you so much for joining us. Can't wait to see the journey ahead the next few years as you work your way through culinary school. You've been listening to Daniel Kastner talking about food, as always, on the Essence Fresh Show. He's about to begin his journey as a chef, starting chef school next week. And he will continue his journey in my kitchen and in his home. with his culinary delights for all of us. I love it when Daniel cooks, because then I can sit back and relax and not worry about what's going on in my kitchen, because I know it's in safe hands. So thank you very much. This is the Essence Fresh and Show, and I'm Adrian Bugatti, your host. If you have any suggestions, questions, tips, or information on cooking and food that you'd like to share with us, please send us a message on SMS 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50 rand. You can send a telegram message, 061-895-1019, or email us on air at highfm.com. And we have a Twitter handle, which is at highfm, or you can reach out on the Facebook page, which is 101.9 highfm. We're going to take an ad break now, and when we come back, some kashrut updates from around the world.
High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. Whether you are halashing for halas or wanting to braai or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bugatti. It's all about the food.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Adrian Bugatti. As we heard, it's the Essen Fressen show, and it's all about the food. So just need to remember to keep a lookout in 2 years' time for the Coffee Snob Cafe by Daniel Kastner. So this week, the kashrut update, there is only one kashrut update from anywhere around the world, and that was here in South Africa, a new product on the list called Collagenie. It is a collagen supplement, and it is now kosher and parov. So continuing with my spices, the first spice, cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper is a small fruited pepper in the nightshade family. Now, you might know the name nightshade because it's well known as a poison. But if you put too much cayenne pepper in your food, you're going to think you've been poisoned. It's a very strong, pungent spice, and it is delicious in food. The cayenne pepper is specially cultivated as a version of the capsicum, and it is said to have originated in cayenne, French Guiana. The spice is produced by drying and grinding the orange deep fruits, and it derives its piquant flavor from the chemical capsicum. The next one is celery. Celery is a herbaceous plant, and it's part of the parsley family. Now, you will have noticed that if you ever buy flat leaf parsley, the leaves of the flat leaf parsley and the leaves of the celery look very, very similar and are often mistaken for each other if you don't know, you know, or if you, it's not labeled. Celery is eaten either cooked as a vegetable. It's a delicate flavoring in a variety of stocks, casseroles, and soups, and can even be had raw with dips. You know, people, it's become a very popular dip snack for people on diet. It's great with dips for an appetizer. It's put into salads, some like a Waldorf salad. And then I've seen it in kids' lunchboxes. It's called Ants on a Log, and basically it is a piece of celery filled with peanut butter, and there are a few raisins on top to represent the ants. I have to admit that raw celery is not on my top to eat list. But I do know that it has lots of nutrients, and it is really good for you. The tiny seed-like fruit is known as celery seed, and it resembles the plant in the taste and the aroma. And when it's ground up, you can buy it as celery salt, which, I, as I said, I haven't seen for a very long time, but I used to use it all the time. It's great in soups, and it's the celery seeds themselves are great as a, in a part of the pickling spice. It just adds a nice flavor to your pickles. The next one is chervil. Now, it's native to the regions around the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, as well as Western Asia. Chervil is cultivated specifically in Europe for its lacy, frond-like aromatic leaves, which are used to flavor things like fish, salads, soups, eggs, meat dishes, and even in stuffing for poultry and fish. The herb mixture is used in fine French herbs, so like a herb de Provence will have the chervil in it. It has a delicate aroma and taste, and it's sort of like anise, but it is not as licorice in flavor, so it's not as strong. And then here was something I didn't know, was that in Europe, it is often eaten as a vegetable. I've never I don't think we can get it here as the vegetable, but it would be a bulb type vegetables. The last one, which is never found in Daniel's kitchen, is called chicory. Chicory is a blue-flowered perennial plant, and it is native to Europe, and it was introduced into the United States in the late 19th century. Chicory is cultivated extensively in the Netherlands, Belgium, France, and Germany, and to some extent in North America. Its leaves are eaten as a vegetable or in a salad, and the roots can be boiled and eaten with butter. The plant is grown often as fodder or herbage for your cattle, and the chicory root can be roasted and ground to impart extra color, body, and bitterness into coffee. And this is very popular in the United States, especially New Orleans. But when you're buying the cheaper blends of coffee here in South Africa, the instant coffee, you will have a note that they do have chicory in them. But you can actually even buy chicory in a bottle on its own, and a lot of people like that as a drink. So once again, just a reminder that if you have any tips or suggestions, questions, or any kind of information on cooking and food that you'd like to share with us, please send us a message. You can SMS 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50 rand. You can send a telegram message on 061-895-1019. You can email us on air@highfm.com. Our Twitter handle is @highfm, or you can go to the Facebook page 101.9. So, so now it's time for the recipe. I promised you a recipe that contained one of these spices that I used today, but it's actually the vegetable celery that I'm talking about. This is a very easy 5-ingredient soup. It is filling and it is delicious, and it's great for a cold lunchtime snack. So you need 1 tablespoon of oil, 1 clove of garlic chopped, 1/2 red onion chopped, 150 grams of celery chopped, 200 ml of chicken stock, and to serve, optional, is 2 slices of toasted ciabatta bread. Very delicious for dunking. Your method is to heat the oil in a pot, cook the garlic, onion, and celery over a low heat for 5 minutes until they have softened. Then you add your chicken stock and simmer for another 10 to 12 minutes. Transfer the soup to a blender, liquidize, and place it in a bowl with your toasted ciabatta alongside. So that is my nice and delicious soup recipe, which you will find on the High FM website after the show. Just go to the tab community and open the recipe section, and all our recipes can be found there. Now, the last thing is, schools are back in session. So here are a few tips for your lunches that won't break the bank. The homemade pizza recipe, which can also be found on the High FM website, is fantastic to either cut it up into little squares, or what I sometimes do when I was making it is I would take a cookie cutter or something like that and make the shapes like circles or whatever, make little individual pizzas, and they're fantastic to add into your lunch boxes. You can put whatever toppings you want on it, or you can just serve them as a plain, you know, tomato and cheese pizza. Children don't seem to mind that they can't heat up their pizzas. And I think that's a kid's thing or a teen thing, because I can vaguely remember doing it in varsity, the leftover pizza from the night before, and we didn't have the microwaves. So the next one is pitta. Now, pittas don't only have to be for shawarmas and falafels. They can also be filled with a variety of fillings, from cold meats to leftover chicken made into chicken mayonnaise, tuna salads, and so much more. Lettuce, tomato, cucumber put into your pitta with some grated cheese and some salad dressing. And if you would like some protein to add to that, how about some black beans put in as well? If you put a few in, the kids aren't actually going to notice that you stuck beans in their food and will probably eat it. It's wonderful as a snack. And you can choose. You can have the tiny little mini pizzas for the little kids. For the bigger ones, you can use normal size pitas. And honestly, pita bread is so easy to make at home, in the oven, quick. It's not a tiresome thing. If you can make challah, you can make pita bread. So they are delicious, and it's a relatively mess-free lunch. Now, the next one is wraps. Now, when we buy wraps in the shop, wraps are quite expensive. They don't work out cheap. So there is a cheap way to get around that. And this is something that I used to do quite often. And that is to take the piece of bread, you very carefully cut off the crust, put that aside to dry out, and then stick those in the blender. They make beautiful fresh breadcrumbs. Or you can take those breadcrumbs, freeze them for when you need them later. I take the bread, and this works best with fresh bread only. The older breads, the more it's dried out, the harder it will be to do this. Take a rolling pin, and this is, the little kids can help you because that's such fun. You roll your bread out into a diamond shape. So you just turn it on its side so that it looks like a diamond shape instead of a square, and you roll it out until it's nice and flat so that you can roll it up properly or fold it like you would a wrap. You're going to take four slices of bread, give it you four mini wraps, which is perfect. And then you spread hummus or mayonnaise over it to hold it together, and you put your fillings in. Once again, you can use tuna, you can use cheese, you can put black beans, lettuce, carrots, cucumbers, tomatoes. The possibilities are endless. And you fold up the bottom and then to hold it all in, and then you fold over the sides, which will turn it into a little mini envelope. And you have four mini wraps, the perfect size for a lunchbox to take to school. Whether you're a little kid or a big kid, you can have either all four sandwiches if you're an adult, or for the smaller ones, you can just put two in your lunchbox. Don't forget to add some fruit and maybe some nuts or pretzels to snack on. We're going to take an ad break now, and when we come back, just some talk on your grocery bills. You're listening to
Hi FM 101.9 megahertz of life. Whether you are halishing for halas or wanting to bry or fine dine, this is Essen Fressen with Adrian Bogarty. It's all about the food.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Adrian Bogarty. And a reminder that if you have any suggestions, tips, or information that you'd like to share on cooking and food, please SMS us on 34519. Your SMSs are charged at 1.50 rand. You can send us a Telegram message on 061-895-1019 or email us on air at chaifm.com. Our Twitter handle is at chaifm or the Facebook page 101.9 chaifm. So as I said previously, a couple of weeks ago, I issued a challenge here on the show and on Facebook. And that was to drop our food bills down to about 180 rand per person per week. Now that is only food, nothing else. In the last 3 weeks, I have noticed that food prices have skyrocketed. And then EWN came out with a news report to say that the basic trolley, just basic food, for a family of four for a month is 4,000 rand, which is above the minimum wage in this country. So that's going to affect a lot of people. But it also means I had to revise my 180 rand a week target. The target is now 250 rand a week per person. Now there are only a few ways to do this. And one of those is to cut out your meat. I'm not saying go vegan. As much as that will definitely get you down to 250 rand per person, most of us are not going to enjoy being vegan. But there are ways to get around that. It does mean being more vegan than you would normally, eating more vegetables than normal. Once upon a time, the thought of fresh fruit and vegetables, all we ever heard was that is just so expensive, and eating fresh is just too expensive to do, and it's not possible. And only rich people can do it, and dieting, it's all those kind of things came out. But this is not true. It's actually fresh food is now cheaper, and if you know where to look, you can get them at really, really good prices. So how are we going to bring our food bills down to 250 Rand? Well, the first thing is to watch out for your specials that are advertised regularly in the local newspaper. You often get those inserts, so base your shopping on that. That's going to help a lot. And then to plan your meals. Once again, looking at what you're going to do, what you're making for the week. And anytime you need any more information on that kind of thing, you can always go to the Chai FM, where we will try and put some topics up for you to read, but also on my Facebook page, Cushering Your Life, where I do talk about the cheaper options. So that is our show for this week. We're listening to the Chai FM Essen Fresen show on 101.9. I am Adrienne Bogarty, your host. And once again, I just want to remind you that if you've got any suggestions for us, any tips or any questions that you want to ask, please send us an SMS, 34519. SMSs are charged at 1.50 rand. You can send a telegram message, 061-895-1019, or email us onair@chaifm.com. Our Twitter handle is @ChaiFM or the Facebook page 101.9 ChaiFM. Thank you for listening to the show today. Hope it was useful and educational. And we will be on air again next week with more cooking terms and tips.
ChaiFM, your station of choice since 2008.